Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Chulin Daf Yud Tes. The first parak of Kol Shechitin. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara discusses Higrim Shlish, V'Shachar Shlish, V'Higrim Shlish. If one cut a third of the kana beyond the Shechita area, then cut a third within the correct area, and cut the final third beyond the correct area, Rav Huna quotes Rav saying the animal is kosher, but Rav Yehuda quotes Rav saying it's not kosher. Rav Huna holds ki nafka ki yusa, when the animal's life left it, meaning the moment the majority of the kana was cut, b'shchita kanafka, it left through shchita. Rav Yehuda holds be'inim ruba b'shchita v'leika, we require most of the kana to be cut with shchita, and that is lacking here. In the opposite case, where he shechted the first third correctly, the middle third with hagrama, and the final third correctly, Rav Yehuda quoted Rav saying, it's kosher since most of the kana was cut correctly. Rav Huna said it is not kosher, and Rav Yehuda was upset because Rav Huna appeared to rule the opposite of whatever Rav Yehuda said. Rav Huna considered retracting, but Rav Chisda said that his second ruling fits well with his first, since in this case the animal's life left it through hagrama and is invalid. Point number two, Rav Yehuda told Rav Kahana that shachet b'makom nekev, if one shachted through a hole, which was torn halfway across the kana, cutting slightly further so that the majority was cut, the shechita is valid. However, shachat upagabo nekev, if he shachted halfway across and reached a hole in the back of the kana, the shechita is pasul. Melezer explained the difference. Where he began the cutting from the hole, nasik misha shachet over kochavim v'gam Yisrael, it's as if an idolater cut halfway across and Yisrael finished it, which is valid. Whereas where he cut until reaching the hole, it's as if a Yisrael shechted only halfway and the idolater finished it, which is invalid. Rabbi Yochanan declared, over kochavim, idolater objecting, that he can explain away the rulings with comparisons to idolaters all day. But they're not similar. As Rav explained, where the kana began intact, and the Yisrael should have cut most of the kana, and instead only cut half, ki nafka chiyusa, when the animal's life left it, biyadad do over kochavim kanafka, it left through the idolater's hand, which is invalid. But where the kana was torn halfway, and he cut more, thereby killing the animal, what difference is there if he began or ended with a hole? And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Hashoyka minat stodin, if one shechts from the sides of the neck, the shechita is valid, but malika from the sides of the neck is invalid. If one shechts mino orif, it's invalid, but malika from the orif is valid. The Gemara will explain this means memul orif, from that which faces the back of the head, meaning the nape of the neck. Shechita minat savra, from the throat is valid, but malika from the throat is invalid. The Mishnah explains that the entire orif is fit for malika, and the entire tzavar is fit for shechita. Nimsa kasha b'shchita pasul b'malika. It emerges that that which is valid for shchita is invalid for malika. Kasha b'malika pasul b'shchita. And what is valid for malika is invalid for shchita. Rabbi Chiya's son said, Mitzvah malika makser siman mu'akri orif u'molik. The mitzvah of malika is performed where one first moves the simanim around to the back of the neck and then performs malika without breaking the neck bone. There are two versions of this, means that malika may also be performed this way or must be performed this way, and the Gemara supports the former version. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara discusses higrim shlish, v'shachar shlish, v'higrim shlish. If one cut a third of the kana beyond the shechita area, then cut a third within the correct area, and cut the final third beyond the correct area, Rav Huna quotes Rav saying the animal is kosher, but Rav Yehuda quotes Rav saying it's not kosher. Rav Huna holds ki nafka ki yusa, when the animal's life left it, meaning the moment the majority of the kana was cut, b'shechita kanafka, it left through shechita. Rav Yehuda holds, be'inim ruba b'shchita v'leika, we require most of the kana to be cut with shchita, and that is lacking here. In the opposite case, where he shechted the first third correctly, the middle third with hagrama, and the final third correctly, Rav Yehuda quoted Rav saying, it's kosher since most of the kana was cut correctly. Rav Huna said it is not kosher, and Rav Yehuda was upset because Rav Huna appeared to rule the opposite of whatever Rav Yehuda said. Rav Huna considered retracting, but Rav Chisda said that his second ruling fits well with his first, since in this case the animal's life left it through hagrama and is invalid. Point number two, Rav Yehuda told Rav Kahana that shachet b'makom nekev, if one shechted through a hole, which was torn halfway across the kana, cutting slightly further so that the majority was cut, the shechita is valid. However, shachat upagabo nekev, if he shechted halfway across and reached a hole in the back of the kana, the shechita is pasul. Melezer explained the difference. Where he began the cutting from the hole, nasik misha shachet over kochavim v'gam Yisrael, it's as if an idolater cut halfway across and Yisrael finished it, which is valid. Whereas where he cut until reaching the hole, it's as if a Yisrael shechted only halfway and the idolater finished it, which is invalid. Rabbi Yochanan declared, over kochavim, idolater objecting, that he can explain away the rulings with comparisons to idolaters all day. But they're not similar. As Rav explained, Where the kana began intact, and the Yisrael should have cut most of the kana, and instead only cut half, ki nafka chiyusa, when the animal's life left it, biyada do over kochavim kanafka, it left through the idolater's hand, which is invalid. But where the kana was torn halfway, and he cut more, thereby killing the animal, what difference is there if he began or ended with the whole? And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Hashoyka minat stodin. If one shechs from the sides of the neck, the shechita is valid, but molika from the sides of the neck is invalid. If one shechs mino orif, it's invalid, but molika from the orif is valid. The Gemara will explain this means memu orif, from that which faces the back of the head, meaning the nape of the neck. Shechita minat savra, from the throat is valid, but molika from the throat is invalid. The Mishnah explains that the entire orif is fit for molika, and the entire tzavar is fit for shechita. Nimsa kasha b'shchita pasul b'malika. It emerges that that which is valid for shchita is invalid for malika. Kasha b'malika pasul b'shchita. And what is valid for malika is invalid for shchita. Rabbi Chiya's son said, Mitzvah malika maksur siman mu'akri orif u'molik. The mitzvah of malika is performed where one first moves the simanim around to the back of the neck and then performs malika without breaking the neck bone. There are two versions of this means that malika may also be performed this way or must be performed this way. And the Gemara supports the former version. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Yotes, and our standard Siman is a yacht. A yacht, so here goes. When the yacht was rocked by a wave, the man shechting for dinner was startled, and his knife went one third beyond the shechita area, one third in the shechita area, and the final third out of the shechita area. His partner was shechting the animal with a hole in the kana while yelling, over kochavim, over kochavim. While a boy climbed up the flagpole to chase a pigeon to practice malika from the back of the neck. Once again, slow motion. When the yacht, that must be run off. Yotes. When the yacht was rocked by a wave, the man shechting for dinner was startled, and his knife went one third beyond the shechita area, one third in the shechita area, and the final third out of the shechita area, which reminds us, Gemara discusses higrim shlish, v'shachet shlish, v'higrim shlish. If one cut a third of the kana beyond the shechita area, then cut a third within the correct area, and cut the final third beyond the correct area, Rav Huna quotes Rav saying the animal is kosher, but Rav Yehuda quotes Rav saying it's not kosher. Rav Huna holds ki nafka chiyusa, when the animal's life left it, meaning the moment the majority of the kana was cut, b'shchita kanafka, it left through shchita. Rav Yehuda holds, be'inin ruba b'shchita v'leika, we require most of the kana to be cut with shchita, and that's lacking here. So when the yacht was rocked by a wave, the man shechting for dinner was startled, and his knife went one third beyond the shchita area, one third in the shchita area, and the final third out of the shchita area. His partner was shechting the animal with a hole in the kana while yelling, over kochavim, over kochavim, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses shechting through a hole in the kana versus shechting until a hole in the kana. So when the yacht was rocked by a wave, the man shechting for dinner was startled, and his knife went one third beyond the shechita area, one third in the shechita area, and the final third out of the shechita area. His partner was shechting an animal with a hole in the kana while yelling, over kochavim, over kochavim, while a boy climbed up the flagpole to chase a pigeon to practice malika from the back of the neck, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ashokhan minat stodin. If one shechs from the sides of the neck, the shechita is valid, but malika from the sides of the neck is invalid. If one shechs mino orif, it's invalid, but malika from the orif is valid. The Gemara will explain that this means mumu orif, from that which faces the back of the neck, meaning the nape of its neck. So once again, when the yacht was rocked by a wave, the man shechting for dinner was startled, and his knife went one third beyond the shechita area, and one third in the shechita area, and the final third out of the shechita area. His partner was shechting an animal with a hole in the kana while yelling, over kochavim, over kochavim, while a boy climbed up the flagpole to chase a pigeon to practice malika from the back of the neck. All right, so now it's time for our four blabach hazara. Daf tezvav, so the simon daf tezvav relates to Tu Bishvat, and we use a fruit bowl to make the simon more distinct. So here goes. The man who used a fruit bowl. Fruit bowl? That must be on daf tezvav. Tu Bishvat, fruit. Fruit bowl. The man who used a fruit bowl to cook fruit soup on Shabbos b'shogeg and was told that he would have to wait until after Shabbos to eat it, which reminds the Gemara brings him out hooks when food cooked on Shabbos is forbidden to eat and to whom it's forbidden. So the man used a fruit bowl to cook fruit soup on Shabbos, b'shogeg, and was told that he would have to wait until after Shabbos to eat it. And a man who cooked in a fruit bowl for a chol on Shabbos and was told that the food is forbidden for healthy people, which reminds us, we discuss a healthy person eating food which was shechted or cooked for a chol on Shabbos. So the man used a fruit bowl to cook fruit soup on Shabbos b'shogeg and was told that he would have to wait until after Shabbos to eat it. And a man who cooked in a fruit bowl for a chol on Shabbos and was told that the food is forbidden for healthy people were startled when a man smashed a glass fruit bowl to use a shard for shechita, which reminds us the Gemara discusses shechting with other implements such as a handsickle, sharp rock, reed, or glass. Daf Tezayin. So the Siman Daf Tezayin is toes, and we use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The acrobat with large toes. Acrobat with large toes? That must mean we're on Daf Tezayin. The acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, which reminds us the Gemara discusses shechting using the force of water in a water wheel, and we distinguish between koach rishon and koach sheni. So the acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, and then somersaulted over a wall where a plate was placed to get rinsed from the rain with droplets bouncing off onto produce below, which reminds us, Rava says, Le'inyan Heksher Zraim, regarding produce's susceptibility to Tuma, it's a Malchok Sinaim of Tosh Ubasov Hebrew. Something that was detached, that was later attached, is considered Mechuber. A Mishnah states that if one overturned a plate onto a wall, so the plate should be rinsed by the rain, which then dripped onto produce, the produce is Mekabel Tuma since the plate is detached. If the plate was placed there to protect the wall from the rain, the produce is not Mekabel Tuma since he's not pleased with the rainfall. These two cases have contradictory implications regarding intent to rinse the wall, and Rabbi Elazar explains that the two cases reflect a Malchukas Tanaim if a wall is considered attached. So the acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, and then somersaulted over a wall where a plate was placed to get rinsed from the rain with droplets bouncing off onto produce below, was about to land near a knife stuck in the wall that was used to shecht, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses shechting with something, talush basof chibro. Although a brisa teaches that knots saki mikosa, if one stuck a knife into a wall and shecht it with it, the shechita is valid, shani saki dewa mabatale, a knife is different because one doesn't nullify it there, meaning he doesn't intend for it to remain there permanently. So it's definitely not considered attached to the ground. Shmuel said that such a shechita is only valid shasakin lamal of itself or behema lamata, where the knife was above and the animal's neck was below it, daf yud zayin. So the siman daf yud zayin is a used car. So here goes. Upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot. Used car? That must be on daf yud zayin. Upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot to find a refrigerated bus or taiva truck to transport only shechted meat, which reminds us, we learned that in the Midbar, meat of Nechir was permitted or bus or taiva was forbidden. So upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot to find a refrigerated bus or taiva truck to transport only shechted meat and an army jeep with a bacon logo to collect from the spoils of war, which reminds us, we learned that it was permitted to eat non-kosher food during the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. As the pasuk says, Ubatim Moleim Kol Tuv, and houses full of good things you will eat, which Rav interpreted to mean Kasli de Chazire, bacon. So upon entering Eretz Yisrael, some enterprising young men went to the used car lot to find a refrigerated bus or taiva truck to transport only shechted meat and an army jeep with a bacon logo to collect from the spoils of war, along with a good old-fashioned knife sharpening truck for the chacham who checks knives with his tongue and fingernail, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses pigimos, the notches in a socking, and bedika socking, the examination of the knife, which can be done in a number of ways, such as with the tongue or fingernail. Daf Yod Ches. So the Siman Daf Yod Ches is a chuppah because Ben Yod Ches la chuppah. So here goes. The rabbi officiating under the chuppah. Chuppah? That must be on Daf Yod Ches. The rabbi officiating under the chuppah who banned the caterer Shochet for not showing him his knife, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, I tabacha de losar sakina kame chacham. If a Shochet did not show his knife to a chacham to be examined, mishamtinle, we place a ban upon him for his brazen dishonor to the chacham. Rav said, ma'abrinle, we remove him from being allowed to sell meat and announce that his meat is treif. These opinions don't argue. Rav Huna's ruling is where his knife was found to be fine, without nicks, and Rav's stricter penalty applies where the knife was found faulty. So the rabbi officiating under the chuppah who banned the caterer Shochet for not showing him his knife was in for a surprise when the unshochet chassan gave the kala tabas gadola where the shechita was done within the ring, which reminds us, the Mishnah discusses when one who begins shechita within the prescribed area for shechita and then inclines the knife, finishing above that area called the grama. It states, Hashochet mitochet tabas, if one shechs within the ring, meaning the tabas gadola, the great ring, the highest ring of cartilage in the trachea, and left a hairbreadth of it along its entire circumference, the Tanakhama rules the shechita is valid since he didn't deviate above this ring for any part of the shechita. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says that a hairbreadth of the tabas along most of its circumference is sufficient even if the shechita ended above the tabas. So the rabbi officiating under the chuppah, who banned the caterer's shochet for not showing him his knife, was in for a surprise when the young shochet chassan gave the kala to bas gadola, where the shechita was done, within the ring. As one of the 80 kedushin commented that in Mugremis, aslan to cut is valid even past the tehah bas gadola, which reminds us, the Gemara records the rulings of several amoraim who validate the shechita beyond the tehah bas gadola. They rule like Rabbi Chanina ben Tignus, who testified that Mugremis, aslan to cut is valid even past the tehah bas gadola. All right, so now it's time to cook with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff to discuss a healthy person eating food which was shechted or cooked for a chola on Shabbos? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 2. Which stuff to do when the shechita on Shabbos is valid, but the mission prohibits eating the meat on Shabbos? That's on Daf Yadalad. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do discuss shechting using the force of water with a water wheel, and we distinguish between koach rishon and koach sheni? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we have a machos regarding when food cooked on Shabbos is forbidden to eat? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do discuss hagrama, cutting outside the shechita area, for example, into the tabas gedola? That's on Daf Yudches. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss a case where a katan turned over produce, which he brought up to the roof, making it susceptible to tumah? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we discuss if in the midbar, basar taiba was forbidden, or meat of nechira, piercing, was permitted? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we discuss several amoraim's opinions allowing shechita beyond the tabas hagadola? That's on daf Yudches. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss doing shechita at night? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you discuss shechting with other implements, such as a hand sickle, sharp rock, reed, or glass? That's on daf Tezvav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.